Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. Welcome. Our scriptures this week are found in Isaiah 53, 6 through 12, and John 15, 1 through 8. Our message this week is from Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. In Acts 8, 26 through 40, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading that book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week in Sunday school, we had quite a lively discussion on how each of us hear God, the risk in trusting him, and how we respond to his guidance. Some took the opportunity to share in how God has led them to witness to others, and while others, they took the opportunities, talked of the opportunities missed to witness for one reason or another. But one person attending, a firearm enthusiast, stated that they were always at the ready. And their spouse confirmed it by stating they wouldn't be surprised to see him in the shower wearing a sidearm. Which quickly gave another person the opportunity to say, "All I want to know is, how do you keep your powder dry?" Well, most often, many of us miss an opportunity to witness for God because we are unsure of our own ability to share the gospel and to communicate with him. So last week's Sunday school class, it led me to title our message today, God's Plan in Witnessing, or in other words, how to keep your powder dry. So, you see, we're often like the woman who went to see a divorce lawyer. And frantically, she told him, "I must have a divorce from my husband immediately." Well, the lawyer asked, "Do you have any grounds?" "Well, yes, about 5 acres," she answered. "I mean, do you have a grudge?" the lawyer questioned. "No, just a carport," she said. Well, then the lawyer asked, "Does he beat you up?" "Well, no," the woman replied. "I get up before he does." Exasperated, the attorney demanded, "Madam, why do you want a divorce from your husband?" And she said, "Because it is impossible to communicate with that man." Well, in my preparations for this week's message, God led me to the story of Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts 8. Which may lead us to ask ourselves the question of how well do we hear God's voice? Are we armed and ready to act on his promptings? And how do I keep my powder dry? This text is a call to get the earwax out of our ears. Perhaps to get a hearing aid, which Bonnie has been after me to do for years. Or maybe simply to cup our hand over our ears, at least, and listen intently to what God is saying and how we should respond. Or maybe the question we should be asking is, what's God's plan for witnessing? Well, this account of Philip and the Ethiopian is a spectacular story with miracles galore. A story of how God was acting behind the scenes to make sure what he wanted done got done. So let's take a look. First, God spoke to Philip and he told him where to go. Next, there was a pool of water on a dry desert road where they needed it. And third, Philip, he didn't get to rejoice with the new Christian because he was, for lack of another word, beamed to another town immediately after the baptism. But most impressive, there was another miracle, how Philip made a spiritual difference in a lonely man who was traveling on a road from Jerusalem to Egypt. So he has this Ethiopian eunuch. Well, he was probably an interesting fellow, and he may have been a new convert who had been circumcised because he was tired of the loose morals of the many gods of the Gentiles, and he found out that Judaism gave life meaning. Or maybe this unnamed man was a new convert, but attended Jewish synagogues and read Jewish scriptures because he was looking for purpose in his life. We do know that the eunuch was an important and an influential person who was a representative of the queen from the present country of Sudan. And we know that he was hungry. He was hungry to learn about God, and he had questions. And we also know that when God unites a listening ear, Philip, and a hungry heart, the eunuch, God does even more miracles. I see God's voice at least three times in this text. In verse 26, the angel tells Philip generally where to go. In verse 29, the Spirit says more specifically to Philip, who must have had his hearing aids turned on, what person to speak to. And in verse 32 and 35, the Holy Spirit coaxing the eunuch to faith in the Messiah. So today we should first ask ourselves, how well do we listen to God? Do we hear his voice speaking to us through the Bible? Can we hear his nudges when we pray? Are we in tune with his spirit enough to know when he is impressing something on us? To stop, to go, to turn, to speak up? Do we hear God's voice in the godly advice from fellow Christians? Are we obedient to these directions from God? Why don't we hear as well as we should? Is it the sin in our lives that dull our hearing? Or is it a combination of many things? Is the Holy Spirit looking in your ears, even as you hear or read these words, and asking about what is causing your hearing problem? Is it because you're too busy and don't take the time to listen to him? Or is it because you're afraid and you won't hear him right? Or is it because you don't really know God? So how can you know his voice? Is it rebellion? You hear him, but you don't want to follow through. Or are all the other voices in the world drowning out the voice of the one who loves you the most? On this fifth Sunday of Easter, God is speaking to each of us about listening to him and letting him match us up with the hungry, God-starved hearts. When we listen to his gentle urgings, we will find that there are many eunuchs in the world who know about Jesus, but don't know him personally. So how can they unless someone explains it to them? Well, God will use you right where you are and help tell the world about Jesus. George Sweeting, in his book, The No Guilt Guide for Witnessing, tells of a man by the name of John Currier, who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. And in 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But Johnny never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on that farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet John kept doing what he was told even after the farmer for whom he worked had died. Well, 10 years went by. Then a state police officer, he learned about Currier's plight, found him and told him that his sentence had been terminated, and he was a free man. Well, Sweeting, he concluded the story by asking, "Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life, and year after year the urgent message was never delivered?" We who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others still enslaved by sin. And are we doing all we can to make sure that people get the message? Well, I believe Philip and the eunuch give us God's plan in witnessing, a way to keep our powder dry as we listen to the Spirit. So first, we need to listen to what God says and act on it. So when God nudges you to speak to someone or go somewhere, just do it. It's a process of learning to listen to the Spirit through the Word and allowing your life to be controlled by Him. Listen and act, even if it seems unlikely. The angel led Philip away from a city in Samaria. He was full of witness opportunities and took him to a seemingly inappropriate place to witness, a desert road. He did this because God cares for everyone, no matter how hard or opposed to God he or she might be. So when God says go, go. Second, we need to ask thought-provoking questions. So if you don't know what else to say, ask a meaningful spiritual question or play off something they just said to ask questions related to it. All Philip asked was what God gave him. In 8:30, he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Well, I can guarantee that people are more ready to talk about the spiritual things than we are ready to initiate it. Never presume a negative response in speaking to people about Jesus. Well, third, listen to them and then answer them with Jesus. You don't have all the answers. Just listen and then tell them about what the Bible says about Jesus. In 8:35, we read, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." Well, Philip, he hadn't had years of training or school. Christianity had just begun, but he knew and had experienced Jesus. So he listened and then he testified. The new eunuch, he knew about God, but now he knew Jesus. So forth, don't make it harder than it is. Obviously, Philip told him more specifics than we have recorded because the hungry eunuch, he knew enough to ask to be baptized. But he had faith, and he wanted to fulfill God's wishes for him. So he asked to be baptized. 8:36 tells us, he said, "Why should I be baptized?" Well, yes, why not? God had done his job in giving faith. So don't add any more than Scripture does to give people assurance of faith. And finally, fifth, keep at it. Philip had the privilege of baptizing a new Christian, but he didn't get the chance to see the eunuch grow up spiritually, and that's okay. Philip just kept on doing what God was calling him to do. We finished in chapter 8, verse 40, where it said, "Preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Don't give up. Every day, ask God to help you find a eunuch, someone to witness to. Keep your powder dry and follow God's plan for witnessing. So each morning, as you put in your spiritual hearing aids, be sure you turn them loud enough to hear God say to you what he has said to his son at his baptism. You are my beloved child. I love you, and I am pleased with you. But in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.